So last week we looked at what it meant to finish strong in our Christian faith, and in order to finish strong, we need to live strong. That means we need to master the basics and gain ground in things like evangelism and mentoring others. Our goal as Christians should be that we finally meet our Savior and Lord and hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." To help us achieve our goal, this week we're going to look at the example set by a man who was a friend of God. But before we get into this sermon, I want us to say a word of prayer, so please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that as we go into this sermon today, Lord, as we dig into your word, Lord, as we look at the example of Abraham and the way that he followed you, Lord, help us follow in his example and that we can become friends with you also, Lord. Open our hearts and minds to receive this message. Not only have us receive it, Lord, but help us understand where we need to apply it in our lives, where we need to strengthen what we're already doing, or maybe even offer a correction to some of the things we're doing. Lord, help us through all that. Help us to grow closer and stronger to you. And watch over this message that I give in a way that brings honor and glory to you. And we ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to begin with what God told Israel. And it's found in Isaiah 41, it's verse 8. It said, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Notice how almost nonchalantly God referred to Abraham as his friend. He's just talking about Abraham because Abraham, my friend. Wouldn't that be amazing? What an honor it would be to have God call you his friend. Abraham had to do something to be a friend of God. So what did he do that made him God's friend? What was that? But we're going to look at three things he did in his life that led to God giving him the title friend. The first is found in Hebrews 11. It starts in verse 8. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive an inheritance, obey, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So Abraham was given a choice by God. He had a choice he had to make, and it was not a very easy one. On one hand, he had his friends and his family and his homeland and everything he knew. And on the other hand, was obedience to God, which meant leaving all that he knew and heading off into some unknown and uncertain future. Now think back across your life. Has God asked you to do something? Has he called you to a specific task? Each of us need to think long and hard about that, because God will not give us the next step in our journey until we take the step he has put before us. That's what he did with Abraham. He said, "Abraham, I need you to go to a country. I'm going to give you the land." That's all he told him. He didn't tell him how he was going to get there. He didn't tell him what the land was going to be, what it was going to be like. He just really didn't give a whole lot of information. He just said, "You need to go." And Abraham was faced with that choice. We know what Abraham did. I'm going to go over here in just a minute. But what would you do in a situation if God came to you and said, "Hey, I've got a plan that requires you leaving everything behind and going somewhere else, including your family"? Would you do it? That's a tough call. Well, Abraham had a different outlook than most of us would. He obeyed. But sometimes in order for us to grow, we need to move beyond the boundaries that confine us. There are times where location limits us, and there are also times where the people around us limit us. I remember an office sign from years ago, and it said, "It's hard to soar with the eagles when you're surrounded by a flock of turkeys." And that's honestly true. If you are in the wrong group, it's going to be hard to do what God has called you to do. So you might have to leave that group. You might have to leave that place. God will call you out of your comfort zone. Very rarely is God willing to leave you in your comfort zone. He needs to get you out of your comfort zone to ensure your growth. You need to grow. The only way to do that is by stepping out on faith. We are often limited by the horizon around us. And, you know, Wasn't that many generations ago, people never knew what was beyond the horizon around them? They never traveled to another city, especially in West Virginia. You didn't really travel a whole lot. So some people lived and died probably within 3 miles of the same house their entire lives. They never went beyond their horizons. We get limited by that idea, you know, but God wants our horizons to be expanded. There's a talented musician, her name is Enya, I don't know if anybody remembers her from years ago, but anyway, she had a song, and some of the words I've always liked. It says, I walk to the horizon, and there I find another. And that's what happens. When you reach the boundaries that you can see, there's more boundaries out there. There's another boundary for you to work toward also. That's what God wants to do. He wants to get us up and out and beyond our horizon so we can see the next horizon. We can see the next goal. We need to be constantly moving forward in our walk with God. When God called Abraham to go, he went. He did not give a single excuse for why he should stay where he was. He did not. He said, do you want me to go? Here we go. So obedience is a major factor in whether you are truly a friend of God. Jesus said that if we love him, we will obey his commandments. And it just comes down to the simple question, are you obedient to God? The next thing he did is found in Romans 4. It starts in verse 18. It said, who against hope believed in hope that he might become father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that when he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham believed unto righteousness. Now, belief is not simply falling for what somebody tells you. There's deeper than that. It is faith in the person and the promise. And Abraham had that faith. Abraham did not know what God was going to do because it seemed physically impossible for his wife at 90 and him at 100 to father a child. Sarah was barren, and they were both well past childbearing years. But you know what? He didn't get into that. He just believed what God said. He believed God would do what God said. And that makes a big difference. I will tell you, when you look at this, at first, he thought the Lord was joking. If you don't believe me, just look at his reaction in Genesis 17, 17. This is right after God told him this. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? He fell on his face laughing. You ever laughed so hard you fell off your chair? That's what happened to Abraham. He laughed till he fell off what he was sitting on. He fell on his face laughing. Sarah's response was only a little better. Hers is found in Genesis 18, 12. It says, therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. They both thought this was funny. They both thought the fact that they were going to have a child at their age was a joke. But you know what? Then they realized the Lord was serious. You know, I want you to imagine that conversation the Lord just had with Sarah. Now, Sarah is an old lady already. And here she's being called on the carpet by none other than the Lord himself. Imagine how she came out. I can only imagine when she came out, she's kind of being a little meek, a little timid, probably trying to make herself appear even smaller than she really was. Had probably had her eyes cast down, was probably not looking God in the eyes, or the Lord in the eyes, because was not doing that. And then there's just the Lord. Now, he has a twinkle in his eye. And he's probably fighting back a smile when they had that conversation. Because in all honesty, it is kind of a funny thing. And their reaction was funny. God has a sense of humor. But God also is faithful to the promises that he makes. So they eventually had the son God promised to them, and they named him Isaac. And Isaac is quite a fitting name because it means to laugh. So they were reminded all the way through the rest of their lives that they had laughed about Isaac being born. As Christians today, we understand that Isaac was named after the laughter they had at the news God had given them. God has a sense of humor in this. But you know what? They took time to remember that lighthearted moment they shared with the Lord. We often think the Lord is harsh, kind of like Isaac harsh. We expect certain things to happen a certain way. We expect people to be able to obey what the Lord says. But you know what? The Lord is still a pretty fun guy, to tell you the truth. Not to demean him in any way, shape, or form. But the Lord did create that humor. He does give us that lightness of step, because he will carry part of our load. He will take the whole load if we'll give it to him. We just have a tendency to keep it. But the Lord is not just fire and brimstone. He will judge you and he will send you to hell if you do not make the right decision to follow him here on earth. But that's not all God is. God loves us and he wants us to enjoy the life he gave us. And that's why he walks with us and he gives us these promises. And he's good enough to follow through on these things. So after going where God told him to go, and after believing what God had told him, and having the son, God decided it was time to test Abraham. So if you turn to Hebrews 11:17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Again, Abraham did not understand the how nor the why. Yet he trusted God and was willing to sacrifice his son. The full story is found in Genesis 22. It starts in verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for the burnt offering in the stead of his son. That's what happened. Think of that. What in the world would you do as a parent? Abraham obeyed God because he believed God. That's how that worked. His belief led to obedience. And that belief resulted in faith that gave him the assurance that God would resurrect Isaac if God had actually allowed him to be killed. That is faith in action. Again, Abraham did not know what the next step would be. He simply believed in the greatness of God and his ability to keep his promise. God tested Abraham, but not because he wanted to know how strong Abraham's faith was, but because he wanted Abraham to know how strong his faith was. God already knows the answer to the test he gave us. He knows if we're going to fail them or not, or if we're going to pass them like Abraham did. He already knows that. He doesn't have to give us the test. But he does it so we know, so we can grow from the test that he gives us. We can learn from them. When we fail one of God's tests, we need to say, wow, I messed that up. I'll do better next time. I will strengthen that area in my life, in my Christian walk. I will strengthen that. So when it comes about again, I won't fall the same way. I'll be able to do better. It was an opportunity for Abraham to grow, and he came through as a perfect example of how we should respond to God testing us for growth. Straight obedience. Nothing else. How many of you, if God said, hey, I need you to sacrifice your child?
No.
If he was a teenager? Hey. But no, think about this. If God said, I need you to sacrifice your child, would you do it? But would you say, are you sure, God? Are we really talking my child? You know, there's anything else we can do? How about the family dog? How about the cat? How about the neighbor's dog? I don't like that dog anyway. I'll sacrifice something for you. Abraham did. Isaac was even willing to be sacrificed. His faith in God was that strong also. Where's our faith? Where's this strength? Now maybe you're in a place in your life where you feel like God is not there. If you are, you're not alone. If you feel like God's not speaking to you anymore, that happens. All Christians experience this in their walk. We go through a dry period at some point. However, when you go through that period, remember the saying, if you feel like God is far away, guess who moved? It wasn't God. It was you. It was me. We need to change it. We need to step back, get next to God. We are reminded repeatedly in both the Old and the New Testament that God will never leave us nor forsake us. However, we often go astray in our walk, and that makes it harder for us to hear God's word and direction. That's what it does to us. It's when we quit being obedient to God. When we start to stray off that path is when the problem comes in. So if you're in a spot right now where you don't think God is communicating with you the way he did before, if you don't have clear direction on what you should be doing, go back and look at the last thing God asked you to do and see if you did it. Because if you haven't done it, God's not talking right now. Because he told you to do something you haven't done yet. Now, it doesn't have to be a voice from heaven. It doesn't have to arrive on a stone tablet. It'd be nice if God's commands did do that. You say, God, you know, should I take this job or that job? And the stone tablet appeared and told you that, and you would know it's from God. No, it doesn't work that way. You have the Holy Spirit in you as a believer. The Holy Spirit will direct you on direction, tell you where to go, how to make the right choice. Choices in life sometimes are not easy. We look for the easy choices almost all the time because it's our nature. But even the hard choices are the ones that we really have to pay attention to. It might be harder to do it the right way, but you're ahead to do it the right way. It's where we are. When we get into that point, you got to remember, these things God has called us to do are simply written in his word sometimes. So if you feel like God's not blessing you, are you honoring God? God will not bless you unless you honor God. Now, you can honor God all your life and you can wind up like Job and go through a really tough time because there's a time of trial, a time of testing. But we are still obligated to honor God. Our life should always honor God. If your life's not honoring God, God's withholding some blessings from you right now. I don't know what that blessing would be. I'm not a prosperity preacher, so don't think this is going to be, you're going to be rich. But that peace that you're looking for in your life, you might not have it because you haven't listened to the simple things God has told you to do. To grow, you need to accept more responsibility. And as you accept more responsibility, you will get more responsibility. But if you are unfaithful in few, you'll be unfaithful in many, and God just won't give you many. He just won't. That's what we got to remember. True faith and obedience requires sacrifice. What have you sacrificed in order to walk with God? I want you to think about that. Think about your life. Think about areas of strength and areas of weakness. What more do you need to sacrifice in order to grow in your faith and walk with God? It's there. If you'll look at it, it's there. David said, search my heart, O God. Are you ready to say that prayer? Are you ready to say, search my heart and show me what I need to do? Or are you saying, God, here's everything I want you to look at over here. I'm going to keep this closet locked. You're not out in that closet. Don't look in there. But the rest of it, feel free. God needs to be able to search your whole heart. You need to be totally committed to God. That means you turn everything over. We know there were many things that Abraham had to do in order to be friends with God. Those are things that are part of obedience. So next week, we're going to look at those things. We're going to look at 7 steps of how to become a friend of God. We're going to use part of what Abraham did, but the 3 main things that he had going, we just looked at. It requires obedience. It requires faith. It has to be faith in action is what it has to be. Because if it's not, if you're not living out your faith in action, there's a problem. And it also requires sacrifice. You have to be willing to put your wants and needs second. So the things you can take away from this, obedience to God is a major factor in whether you are truly a friend of God. Like I said to the men this morning, we all want to be friends with God, but sometimes we don't want to go through the steps that are required to be his friend. We'd like to call him a friend, but he might say, well, I know who they are. Wouldn't you like to get past the acquaintance of God and be a friend of God? It's your goal. Belief is not simply falling for what someone says. It is faith in the person and their promises and the promise that they make. It's a little bit more than just believing. And true obedience and faith always require sacrifice. They require sacrifice. There's no way around that. It just requires sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice? All right, so let us pray.